Worldwide Sound.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We give you a reason to come.
The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
You're in touch with Faith and Family. The host of the show is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and today I am substituting for her. I'm Judge Grady Pettigrew, and I am a Vietnam vet, and I happen to be married to Dr. Pettigrew. Today our topic is Thank You for Your Service. During November in the United States, we celebrate military service to our country by those called veterans. And today we have a team of veterans who are distinguished in both their civic life as well as their having served our country as veterans. So our topic today is Thank You for Your Service. And I'd like to start by asking our guests, we actually have six, and so we've divided them into two teams. The first team, to identify yourself for our listeners.
I'm Bernie Pontonis. I was drafted back in 1969, served with the 101st Airborne Division in 1970-71, and currently working with Veterans Court here in Franklin County.
I am Chaplain Burford Gammon, United States Marine Corps, 64 to 70. I served in Vietnam. Right now, I'm with Church of Christ Apostolic Faith, working there as a pastor and also as a chaplain, and also with the Columbus Metropolitan Churches.
I'm Master Sergeant Kimberly Tapia.
16 years Army. I'm still currently serving out of a reserve unit in Whitehall. I am an entrepreneur, own a couple businesses here in Columbus, and then I also on the volunteer side serve with Bunker Lab Columbus, and the mission continues.
All right. Well, thank you first for being here and participating. And would each of you take the opportunity to give us the brief description of your military experience? Starting with you, Bernie.
I spent far too long in Georgia, but I did manage to get into Louisiana. Spent a year of training here in the United States, and then spent a year with the 101st Airborne Division in I Corps, Northern Vietnam.
I started with 1964 after I graduated from high school. I joined the Marine Corps November 1st in 1964. 3 months after that, I had my orders to go to Vietnam, so we went into Okinawa for a little while. Then from there, we went to Vietnam. In Vietnam, I served with the 1st Marine and the 3rd Marine. And after that, after I left Vietnam, I was stationed down at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Okay, thank you. So, like I mentioned earlier, I've been in 16 years. I served in the Iraq War in 2005, 2006. I was deployed to Mosul, Iraq. I've been all over the country, kind of all over the world on multiple deployments, multiple mobilizations, and I'm currently stationed, again, on the reserve side here in Columbus, Ohio.
The month of November, as I says, raises a lot of questions about serving as well as being thanked. What do you do to thank other veterans for their service, as well as dependents and others who are really entitled to being thanked this time of year?
I generally spend Mondays in court. Franklin County Municipal Court, they have a specialty court for veterans. If you have a misdemeanor, you could plead out and end up in probation for 2 years. So at that point, we've got you for 2 years. And in that two-year period of time, just struggle to make a change, see what comes out differently.
Well, some of the veterans coming to that court have problems with substances,
domestic violence,
and just the orderliness of their own lives.
Correct.
But by virtue of this specialty court, are you actually affecting their lives and improving their experience and their return to normalcy?
Right. We have a program for mentors. We try to hook up a veteran with a mentor, both men and women, and struggle to get them onto a different path, identify what the problem is, and try and resolve it.
Chaplain.
Yeah, Chaplain Gammon here. For what we usually do in November is that we have a group at our church called, we operate under three H. The first H is help. The second H is hope. And the third H is healing. So what we do with the vet, we will find them, whether they're at our church or any other church, and we will help them. And by hope, we would tell them that there's always hope. If you believe in God, there's always hope. And then from there, we meet periodically and we discuss the healing and the processes of helping one another, to encourage them that whatever the problem they may be having, whatever they're going through, there is help out there for all veterans. If you just reach out, there's people out there to really help you if you really want help.
Now, you deal with veterans from all eras, is that right?
Yes.
Do you go back all the way to World War II and come forward?
Yes, sir. This past Monday, I was talking with a young sergeant major. Of course, you know, on Veterans Day, they have free meals. And so I was up at the Firebird up on Polaris, and one of the gentlemen up there, he was in World War II. He was in Korea. And he spent three tours in Vietnam. And, you know, so we was able to talk with him and encourage me. But when we talk to other people from other wars, like, you know, we call it WW2. Mm-hmm. And it was really inspiring because he was 94 years old. And by looking at him and hear him, his mind is really quick and swift. I said, well, you know, if he can do this in 94, I can do it too, you know.
Well, and we do have a unique situation in Columbus, Ohio. We have a number of Tuskegee Airmen, mm-hmm, who have settled here, and that's a group that's dwindling, mm-hmm, but it's also, they're in their 90s. Yeah. Yes. Kimberly, what's your...
So I think for me it's about providing opportunity, right, for veterans. And it's not just, again, just personally, it's not just about the month of November. It's, you know, throughout the entire year, right? Right. Like, how can we continue to expose veterans to opportunities to either get the support services that they're looking for, access resources that they're looking for, engage with other veterans, just to simply have a conversation, drink a beer, smoke a cigarette, whatever it is. So that's how I continue to serve within the community. And that's something that's very important to me. So, I do it through the Mission Continues, where we have monthly volunteer opportunities. I do it through Bunker Labs. So as an entrepreneur, you know, Bunker Labs helps to support veteran entrepreneurs. And we're all across the country. So that is something that we do, like monthly events. And then there's engagements throughout the month to help support those entrepreneurs. I sit on a couple of boards where I'm kind of like the token veteran. And I'm all about advocating and bringing our perspective to the forefront to help folks make strategic decisions that might be a little bit more enlightened and also have that veteran focus. And also with the Women's Advisory Board for the state of Ohio. So we have an ear to the director of the Ohio Department of Veteran Services on women-specific issues. And, you know, I think having that opportunity to express those perspectives is very important. But, you know, for me, it's not just November. It's all day, every day.
Well, you said you go year-round, November plus. But Do you find that your voice in these boards and these various groups is a needed voice and maybe one that would be absent if you were not there?
Not just me specifically. There's, you know, the thought process, again, providing opportunity. So for women veterans, providing them an opportunity to also raise up and speak. And there's a lot of great women veterans here just in the Central Ohio area doing some really awesome stuff, not just here but across the country, of course. But, yeah, it's definitely a needed voice. It surprises me, I guess, to some aspect because it's like, oh, you know, what difference of a perspective can I technically bring? And then I sit on these boards and we go through strategic conversations and there is a lot to say. There is a lot of impact that we can have. So, yeah, I do think it's very much important.
Well, right now, at least on the televisions, there's a lot of talk about hire a vet. Is that something that's very badly needed across the country and certainly here in our locality?
So I think there's a difference between a hire a vet flavor of the month or flavor of the year versus actually creating, you know, a culture difference within your organization that makes it conducive to veterans being successful. It's a huge difference. A lot of organizations, I think, struggle with that. You're making step one, I guess, by making the point or making the statement, but it goes a lot farther than just that, right?
What are you seeing?
Well, since the Americans with Disabilities Act back in 92, we've always worked with reasonable accommodations. And I think most veterans require at least some reasonable accommodation because their experiences are so vastly different from the general public. And allowing them to have that leeway allows them to adjust into a different employment situation.
So are you seeing, even with the court, are you seeing a number of veterans who need the employment opportunity?
Not only need it, but thankfully with all the services available in the community, they can get it.
That certainly is, I guess there are two things I see being broadcast. One is the suicide prevention, some very tragic numbers being reported on that, and the other is the employment issue. And I guess for me, it's difficult to understand that because so many veterans have demonstrated discipline. They're willing to be trained, and they're willing to carry out, perform the mission, whatever that mission happens to be. And yet we see people who are not given that opportunity. So I guess in many instances, it's presenting themselves. Or there are some websites that say they have all the solutions. I don't understand that, but There's one that, okay, I'll leave that alone. What about the peripheral, not the collateral damage, the family, the spouse, the dependents of veterans? What are you seeing that they're experiencing now? Either one of you.
Well, clearly in Veterans Court we see spouses, significant others, showing up in court, and their understanding of what that veteran is going through and their greater awareness of the facilities and the accommodations so many other people can bring to help that veteran make an adjustment, make a change, and get on with his or her life.
So spouses, what about dependents and other family members? Are you encountering them? Do they?
So I think from my perspective on that topic, they are the gateway to the veteran, right? So the question is always brought up, like, how do we access, how do we get more veterans involved? How do we help them understand that there are these resources out there for them? I think one of the primary ways is through the family, through the dependents, through the spouses. I just met with a veteran spouse yesterday, and she's working on, you know, building this veteran resource map, right, here in the state. Her husband and her son are in the military, and she is the one who brings all the resources to them. Hey, this is what you have access to. This is what's available. Like, use this. So there's power in the veteran spouse and then the veteran, the family dependents.
Well, one of the things that we have difficulty with is that so many of these stories are very closely kept or maybe even secret. Obviously, at the court, you see them because something, they stepped out of line, something, and brought in jurisdiction. But do you see veterans who are just sort of bumping along and really looking for, needing help, and maybe someone just sort of reaching out could be that agent for helping?
You know, one thing when you say veterans need help, there's a lot of veterans. They're not going to the VA hospital. They're not going to check on their benefits. And I asked them, you know, like, why don't you go and have this check? He says, well, I don't know. I went there once, and I wasn't treated very well. And so I says, well, that was then. But you should go now. Go to VA over on James Road and just go and say, I need help. They have staff over there. Our VA hospital here in Columbus, Ohio, and I talked to other veterans out of town, Georgia, all over, and I'm finding out that our veterans hospital right here in Columbus, Ohio, to me, is one of the best. We have the best set of doctors. We have the best benefit office. I mean, we have second to none. And whatever happened in the past, you know, that's the past. Now let's move on to forward. And if you need help, come and just go and say, I need help. And they're there to help you.
Well, one of the things that I encountered in one of my visits, a daughter mm-hmm. whose father lives in West Virginia. And he now comes up here
yeah.
for medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he doesn't... She described a situation where not only the way he was treated, but mm-hmm. the resources that were available there that were not satisfactory. And he's Vietnam era. And so she just said, well, so he comes to visit us, and we make a stop at the Wiley Ambulatory Care Center, mm-hmm. and he gets his care there as opposed to West Virginia. Mm-hmm. My observation and conversations are consistent with what you heard, that we happen to be very fortunate. In terms of the facilities that are here mm-hmm. and the fact that not only that, but they are committed. I had a bad experience with a lab tech, and I made a comment about that lab tech and found out that somebody else said, oh, we know who you're talking about. I didn't use a name. She's no longer here because she had been so disrespectful of elderly mm-hmm. veterans. She didn't have time for them. But the thing is that is a blessing to have that facility here.
Right.
And if people don't know about it, at the Wiley, they'll be on a show next week. They say it starts with enrollment. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you've got to go. You got to tell them who you are and just stand there saying, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And like now, we have another member of our team who will be on in the second half who will say, take somebody with you. But we'll let them do that because... there are superb organizations that are mm-hmm. that their mission is to assist veterans, and certainly in the benefits area, that you need help because it is a difficult area. I guess one of the things that we all are looking for is what do we do with young people? You know, if you encounter young people, there are youngsters who actually are thinking about military service, especially as a way for them to get a higher education, whether it be college or some other training. Are you encountering that category of young people in your travels?
Every year, I end up going to Marysville High School, and the English department there reads one book by... Tim O'Brien. It's called The Things They Carried. And so we carry on a conversation about that aspect of war, those stories about war. And then afterward, anyone who's interested in perhaps pursuing a career mm-hmm. in the military, we talk with them about that, say, you're wonderful opportunities.
Well, especially because it's such a high-tech, mm-hmm. our war... efforts are so high-tech. So they start with computers, and I just saw a series on the nuclear submarines. Good Lord, not only is it a laboratory, it's all kinds of things. And then over there, they've got these missiles that could do terrible things. Mm-hmm. Did you have another observation on the employment opportunities for young people?
Within the military?
Yes.
Okay, well, first off, I thought we were all young as if, we're talking about ourselves here, right?
Oh.
No? Am I? Okay.
Oh, so nice.
So,
okay.
yeah, it's one thing that I like to differentiate when I do speak with folks who are looking to join the military. Though I'm an Army girl, as long as you want to join, I think there's a lot of opportunity across the spectrum, across the branches. So I am always harping on, make sure that you choose an MOS that's translatable, mm-hmm. right? So when
MOS, yeah, military occupation specialist.
Yes, yeah. So basically, the job that you go in there, like, if as much as possible as you're able to at the very beginning translate what that looks like in the civilian sector mm-hmm. as you transition. Think about that when you're choosing your mm-hmm. specialty. And that's always the advice that I give. And I do meet a lot of folks who are younger folks mm-hmm. embarking on this cool journey. Mm-hmm. And that's my primary advice.
I was invited to elementary school in New Albany and to speak to some of the young people there and one class. And I pretty much so told them the importance about the American flag. And so I left them with the idea is that what can I do to better my country mm-hmm. is because there is no better country than the United States. There is. So therefore, in order to serve your country, I think, I asked them that if you're thinking about joining military service, find out which branch of service that fit you. And find out which branch of service that would be able to give you your occupation that you want to go into. And then go into it. If you go into the Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, whichever branch you go into, just do your best and be your best.
Well, I think that the real live example or the real live case study is important, and a lot of young people don't encounter that. They don't encounter it at home and in their family. So thank you for your service of going there and sharing that. We have a godson who's 12, and he's determined that he is not going to be a slacker. He's going to serve his country.
Yeah.
And I just find that amazing. Well, he's come to the Vet Center cookout, mm-hmm. and he says you have great food at that event. So we will be there. But I just find that amazing. And so I asked him, do your friends talk about it? He said, no, not really. So when you say you went and you met the various soldiers and veterans and all that, he said they just stop and listen to him. So here's a point of time where he has something to share with them that they don't have access to somewhere else. So I just find that an amazing, and that's utilizing an opportunity. It's very simple, but you have to be prepared to do that, to actually say, well, let me share something with you. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that we all have is the opportunity to tell somebody else something that you think they need to know about this whole veteran thing. So going around the horn, is there something that you've been holding back on and that you'd really like to have people know about?
I think it's just the wider range of services that are now available at the Vet Center. We have a lot of peer support. At the VA, we are now doing meditation training, yoga, and a lot of arts. So we're doing poetry. We're getting out into the art community. So there's a lot of opportunity to get out and express yourself, helping you to reintegrate into the community.
One thing that I would like to say is I would like more people, more veterans, to come down to the VA hospital. Just go down. If you've never been there before, just go and get a physical. They will check you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. They will let you know exactly, pretty much so, what's wrong with you, if it's service-connected or not service-connected. But I think the main focus for the VA hospital and the facilities is to get the vet healthy again. If you're not quite healthy, they're there to help you. And then, I mean, there's medicine there to help you. If someone is having a mental stress, mental illness, they have a board of psychologists. And they are there to, there's no need for a veteran to walk around not knowing his numbers and not being where he should be with the condition that they're in. We just have one of the best in Columbus. And when I talk so much about Columbus, the other vet hospitals in other states, they're good too. But since I'm here in Columbus, I'm kind of biased with mine.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that, actually. So I lived in Atlanta for 15 years, and mm-hmm. they have the big, massive VA hospital there. Mm-hmm. And I think, so this is validating your point, there's obviously a difference between a VA clinic mm-hmm. and then a VA hospital, right? Mm-hmm. As a VA clinic, I am getting a lot for what they're able to provide within their spectrum, right, within the way they're categorized. And they also have the emergency care services now that they provide, which is fabulous. So it's a little bit less paperwork for me, but I can go there after hours. You know, maybe I have a bad cough or something, and they can take care of me. So I absolutely, co-sign on that specific point. So what would I want people to think about, I guess, or to hear? Like, so from the civilian perspective, it's ask, don't assume, right? We're not aliens. We're human beings, right? We go through a process of being conditioned to be prepared for a wartime environment. Doesn't make us out of the box creatures you cannot engage with, right? Mm-hmm. For the folks who've served our country and continue to serve our country, my thought would be, reach out, right? Mm-hmm. Engage, because mm-hmm. There's a ton of your brothers and sisters out here who are doing really cool stuff. A lot of us don't wear the hats that say I'm a veteran, but reach out, ask, communicate, talk to people, and you'll be able to discover a really great environment of veterans.
Well, I guess the thing that I find that is missing in many settings is self-care. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people who assume responsibility for family members and others, and then you get back and say, well, what are you doing to take care of yourself? Right. Not much. And the John Wayne model says, oh, we don't have to. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because there's a huge investment in each of us, in our human experience,
right.
What we know and the people who care about us. So mm-hmm. from my standpoint, self-care is something that is underutilized. Let me tell our listeners, talktainmentradio.com. We go where you go. Podcasts are available. Download talktainmentradio.com app to your cell or tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. You're dealing with Faith and Family. And today our topic is thank you for your service.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicken online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right. And you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals, or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
I've got the water, energy bars, and camera. I think we're set for the hike.
Almost. We need to protect our skin. Don't forget your wide-brimmed hat and sunscreen.
All right. I've got the hat. I've got SPF 30. Will that work?
Yeah. Anything 15 or higher is good. Just make sure it says broad spectrum.
Great. Got it. I am not getting burned again. Let's go.
Learn more at cdc.gov/cancer.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
And you're in touch with Faith and Family on TalkTainmentRadio.com. The host of Faith and Family is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and today I'm sitting in for her. I'm Judge Grady Pettigrew. And today our topic is thank you for your service, recognizing service of veterans and also the many benefits to which veterans may be entitled and in some cases don't know about. We are going to go to our second team because that team is going to focus on resources and benefits in a way that any of the listeners need to know about, because you may be able to share that with family members, friends, neighbors, or coworkers. So would you gentlemen please identify yourselves?
My name is Scott Johnson. I'm a licensed psychologist with the state of Ohio. I've been working with the Columbus Vet Center since 1999, 20 years. Worked with many a vet and many a family member, and male and female from all walks of life and all from all services.
My name is Josh Riggetts. I, like Scott here, work at the Columbus Vet Center. I have a little bit of a different role. I'm the Veteran Outreach Program Specialist out there. So I talk with veterans, you know, about what services are available for them, kind of the public face, try to destigmatize mental health issues and veterans benefits, period, and then focus very much on the outreach of veterans that we're trying to see at the Vet Center. The Vet Center is a very small autonomous branch of Veterans Affairs. We're an independent operator, do mental health counseling confidentially from the rest of the VA. Help with bureaucracy navigation is probably the best way for me to help get that across to your audience. Here in Columbus, we're very quiet, very cool secret in this town, down on 30 Spruce Street across from the North Market. A lot of vets don't know we're down there. Extended hours into the evening, including Saturdays. And then we've got community access points across the listening region in Central Ohio. You can reach us at 614-257-5550 or at 1-877-WAR-VETS or online at www.vetcenter.va.gov.
Now, who do you serve at the Vet Center?
So what I want to come in, or anybody send people to us, is anybody who put the uniform on initially, okay? Our primary eligibility for long-term services are what we'd call combat vets, and that means served in the combat zone or the theater, or exposed to, you know, some of the ramifications of those combat zones. So we've got a medic back home that was treating, you know, the survivors of a war. And that goes on back to World War II, Korea, Vietnam, so on and so forth, right up to the modern conflicts, OIF, OEF. We also will see for long-term services any veteran, man or woman, who is exposed to military sexual trauma. And that can be peacetime, National Guard, wartime, reserve, you name it. We're going to see that individual. And the other real cool thing about us is we will see family members of those veterans if it's beneficial to the veteran, him or herself. And that can be individual or that could be couples counseling. So that's a service a lot of people aren't aware of.
And you also do group
therapy. We do. Yeah, absolutely.
So some you have individual, couples, and groups.
All of the above. That's okay. That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you. Mr. Mitchell.
Me?
Yes, you.
My name is Moyo Mitchell. I'm with Franklin County Veterans Service Commission. I'm one of the 88 Veterans Service Commissions here in Ohio. We're established by law. So we're not the VA, but we do kind of coordinate resources associated with VA because we all see the same people. Our address is 280 East Broad Street. If you try to Google us, it's kind of hard to come up with. So vets.franklincountyohio.gov and 614-525-2500 would be our number.
And what services are provided at your agency?
So in the Ohio Revised Code, it provides for our agencies to provide emergency financial assistance and also assistance with VA benefits as service officers. So as a service officer, I don't work for any individual VSO as organization. I work alongside them. I mean, I may be your direct point of contact for the Military Order of Purple Heart or VFW or American Legion DAV and so forth. And you would still be their client, but I will be that direct point of contact to assist you with your benefits, be it service-connected, non-service-connected, burial, and so forth.
So I know that there's a representation that one of the resources is financial resource, emergency.
Yes.
So actually people can come to the Veterans Service Commission to help with a some emergency situation,
yes,
example of their car broke down, they're not going to be able to get to work.
So every one of the Veterans Service Commissions operates ever so slightly different, but with the same mission, because that mission is defined by law. But you're also dependent on how your county is literally structured and how the agency is structured by the county. Being that we're a larger county, we're going to have more veterans and their dependents here. A smaller county is going to be more directly involved a lot of times because they have a smaller veteran community by comparison. But we all do that same thing as far as that emergency financial assistance, just ever so slightly in different ways.
But if a veteran is resident in,
yes,
an adjoining county, can they come to your commission for service?
No, sir. So you have to establish residency. You have to be a veteran for Ohio standards, which we'll get to that, of course. You have to be a resident of the county for at least 90 days, a bona fide resident, be that established through a change of address, be established through a lease confirming that you moved here at this time, other type of similar resources. Because if you're a resident of another county, they are, by Ohio law, required to provide those services for you.
Well, the criticism that some people have made is that they come to Franklin County because, mm-hmm, the services provided here are much better than the services where they live.
I've learned that you know, everything kind of depends on the individual's experience. So I can have, someone can come in and see me and did not have a good experience with me for whatever reason. We just didn't mesh well. And the next person come in, see me, we have just hit it off great. And nothing's changed in me and nothing's changed in you, but that connection between those two individuals may have just been off, and it kind of, it taints the entire experience a lot of times. So I try to encourage people, even if you've had issues in the past similar with the VA, it doesn't hurt to go back and talk to the people about it. It could have been, we're all vets too. So we tend to go through the same things that our larger veteran community goes through. We're all the same. We're just on different sides of the same desk.
The Veterans Service Commission is funded by tax dollars.
Correct.
So it's not gifts or grants or something. It's,
I think in theory you can provide a gift, but generally it's going to be through taxes for that county. Okay.
I guess from the standpoint of the different kinds of experiences that you have, let's just go around and see or have you tell us about what you see the veterans you encounter needing. Scott, what?
So as a psychologist, my slant is more a clinical slant. So in regards to what I see veterans needing, is it's about becoming balanced, grounded, and centered, and a holistic approach to being able to function in a way that's consistent with that person's value structure. We can all say this person should do this and should do that. Well, should comes from the environment. When we do things that are central to our core belief, we create a better opportunity for us to feel good about ourselves and to function at a higher level. So throughout the 20 years that I've been working at the Vet Center, I've seen men and women struggle with military sexual trauma being out of balance. I've seen men and women with post-traumatic stress disorder from combat experiences and other types of experiences in the in their, as they served in the military. I've seen family members from younger children to mothers and brothers need support, and the Vet Center has been able to provide that support. So what I see the need moving forward is to continue to create opportunities for the broader experience of connection for family, maybe even extended family, anybody who has an impact with that particular veteran, and then connection to community resources, and Kimberly said earlier about cultural and community change of perspective.
Now, when you describe that as an overview, that's not really limited by age then?
Absolutely not.
You could see a Korean War veteran and be focusing on the same
overall. As a matter of fact, I mean, I've worked with World War II veterans, several Korean War veterans, all the way up to OAF, OEF, and OND, Operation New Dawn.
What is that?
It's an extension of OAF.
Oh, okay.
It's just they just changed the terms. In the whole experience of where are you now, where would you like to be, and what do you have available to you that can help you get to this place? And, you know, I don't make it happen for them. They do the work, and it's challenging work. It takes a lot of courage, a great deal of courage.
Great. Josh, what are you?
Well, I would have two comments on that. And number one would be, you know, just kind of reframing how we view mental health, our own mental health, our whole body health, you know, take a more holistic view at it. Reframing stigma of counseling that still is in the military community and the veteran community that I come across. You know, we do a rigorous public outreach, and some of the organizations like Moyo here and Bernie and some of the other guests, you know, the organizations do outreach on our behalf, you know, send veterans to us. And that's great. That's awesome. But our number one referral source still remains either peer, you know, a veteran peer looking out for his buddy, which is a good thing, or what I would call almost spouse ultimatum, you know, was like, I need you to go in and get help now, or else maybe there's going to be some consequences on this marriage or this relationship. And I would much rather us as veterans, you know, reframe that. You know, we start going to the doctor immediately when we're in childhood, you know, and it becomes normal. You know, we go for our annual checkups even. And I very much would like to see us adopt a mentality of that with counseling. You know, address some of these issues before you're getting that spousal ultimatum, before your buddy feels compelled to take you aside and say, you know what, Josh, you need help. Let's go in and talk to somebody. Counseling can be very, very structured. You know, Dr. Johnson can talk about that, very, very formal. It can be something as simple as just bouncing your ideas off somebody else in a confidential, safe setting with a peer, you know, with a fellow vet who has a license and agree to do those things. And, you know, that's a good thing. I want us to see us do that more. And I think us as veterans can talk about those struggles and those issues and our recoveries ourselves. The other one, honestly, is one of ignorance. And I say that with love for my fellow veterans. But we just don't know as a community all of the benefits that are out there for us. And that's where people like Moyo come in and stuff like that. Go ask for help. Go ask for help with these things. You know, find out what's out there, whether it's your health care or financial benefits or housing or you name it. We spend an inordinate amount of time in the service training. You know, we're training at basic training. We're training for our AIT, our advanced individual training for our jobs. We're training for going to the field. We're training to deploy. We spend a very small amount of time at the end of our careers training how to reintegrate back to be a civilian. And, you know, what are those benefits? How do I readjust? How do I get that service connection? I got this medical condition that's stuck with me. And when I'm 24, I think I'm invincible, but now I'm 40 and I realize I'm not. What do I do about that? A lot of ignorance. And it's not our fault, but it is our fault if we're not willing to ask for help and go to individuals like the gentleman to my right.
Hey, ooh, that's
on that
me.
Note, I'll turn it down. So those are my two issues.
Okay.
So, the blessing that I've been given to be able to assist veterans for a living is amazing. I could not have predicted this years ago. Every day I get to see veterans and help them explain their experience to the VA. Sometimes what happens with these claims is the VA doesn't actually know what you experienced. And if you depend on them to just read your records and put the pieces together, they won't do it. It just doesn't happen. So my job is to help you explain what are the little connections between this injury you had in whatever year, what you experienced since then, how you dealt with it, and what you have going on now. And that's for the service-connected conversation. And what I found is a lot of people, the service connection is less about the financial compensation and more about the VA recognizing that they haven't been making this up this whole time. This is really a big deal to them. And whatever percentage assigned, it's recognized that this is a real thing. So a lot of people, it really changes them over. They get to have some kind of relief. And now because of that, they then have access to other resources. They may be eligible for vocational rehabilitation. So if this condition is affecting your ability to work, well, let's train you in how to do another type of career that does not impact or aggravate your service-connected condition. Now you're able to move on from, say, working construction to more labor management. Now you're on the desk side, the white hats, and able to still be in your field, but do so in such a way that you're not going to make yourself, you know, physically worse and struggle more.
There are people who believe that the Veterans Administration is the adversary of veterans? Is there any merit to that belief?
No, but I understand their thinking. So if you really thought about what service connection and there are other benefits besides that, what it really entails, you have to go to law and read the 30th CFR and see what it actually means. It is the VA's job to compensate you for any losses in earning potential that you develop due to your military service. It's not just you got shot and something over the top, obvious, granted that's a thing too, but there you can be injured just, I don't know, lifting something wrong, I was. and it affects your ability to do the job that you do when you get out. And drawing that line between these things, say, hey, I can't do this job anymore, or I can't do this as well as I would be able to, or I'm limited in how I interact with my family because of this condition, and the VA recognizes it in writing.
Well, there are two experiences. The Vietnam vets will talk about the fact that we were poisoned by Agent Orange.
And Marines at Camp Lejeune.
I'm sorry?
And Marines at Camp Lejeune.
But for 25 years, our government denied that we were poisoned. I don't mean disagreed. They just flat denied it.
And so, dismissed.
That's one thing. And the other thing is that in the Gulf War, there were a number of experiences where petroleum products were set on fire. And the military guarding those breathed that for a period of time. And young men now have lung injuries that are pretty
and
bizarre.
Women.
I'm sorry?
Young men and women.
And women. I'm
sorry. I know, okay. So it's my job to speak to this young man here about whether he may have been exposed to things that he doesn't know. The federal government has formally said, and Congress has set forth in writing, that this absolutely did happen at this place at this time. If you're not in this circle of veterans conversation, you may not be exposed to the information. But for you as a Vietnam veteran in your era, you all set so much for my generation and put us in a place where we don't struggle as much as you were forced to. The things like the Vet Center, they exist because of your generation. You all created these things. You changed the thought process of the American people to separate the war from the war fighter. And that makes a huge difference, because until then, they were married together and people could not distinguish between the two. So if they were against the war effort, you were a part of that. But now we get to separate. Well, I don't agree with this going on over here, but you were doing your job and you were doing your duty to this country. And I can still appreciate you for that. So I try to take the time to thank my Vietnam veterans because of the horrible stories I've been told about experiences, I get to truly understand why it's so important that you all are given that appreciation.
Well, one of the things we did not do in the first half of the show was talk about Bernie's philosophy on how you get to know what veterans are thinking about. You ask them. If you just start talking, they will tell you. And the thing is that in so many instances, the Vietnam veterans were talking to each other, not to, broader. So I'm glad to see there's been some positive result from that, because it was a long time and a pretty unusual situation. Last summer, I was talking to one of my neighbors who was combat infantry in Vietnam, and I asked him, what did he do? And he said, I was a tunnel rat. Well, that had to do with size, but it also, I don't know exactly what happened in every area, but where I was down near the South China Sea, the big issue was they were harvesting rice. So they would put it in these caves underground. So when these tunnel rats went down there, many times the cave was blown up because they didn't want, the Viet Cong did not want South Vietnamese to have the rice, and the U.S. and South Vietnamese didn't want them to have it. So he was exposed to both damage to his ears as well as Agent Orange. And, of course, he survived the risk of going in and out of there. But I never would have known that except that I started talking to him. And he told me, and I've known him for a number of years. But if you don't have that conversation, you certainly are not going to know what they experienced, and then for you, even who to refer them to get help. Because you did say earlier they shouldn't go by themselves, right?
I'm a huge fan of you allowing someone to encourage you and be somewhat objective in the experience. If your spouse, a significant other, or a close friend goes with you, you may be able to share that experience with them, so you're, say, symptoms of anxiety may not be as strong because you're not there by yourself. You have someone you trust with you.
Okay, but you know where to look for benefits and how to tell VA that about a claim for benefits.
Yes, sir.
Most veterans don't know that, do they?
No, it's the marriage of law, of medicine, and all of the gray areas and the nuances in between. And it's a lot for anyone to take on as a task. But for Joe or Jane veteran who has their own focuses in life to take on this huge task of learning all these intricate details and benefits, it's a lot. There's a reason why they established veteran service organizations and veteran service officers, both are VSO, by the way. We exist because there's a need, and by us existing, we're able to help people in such a way that they otherwise it effectively couldn't have done.
Well, we've done it again. Run low on time. I can't imagine why. There's only a few things to tell people. I want to go on record thanking you as veterans who've come here today and shared this information. But we also want to give you the opportunity to tell people where they can go and get more. So you want to give it on terms of the Vet Center?
Yeah. Again, the Vet Center, we're down on 30 Spruce Street here in Columbus, Ohio, adjacent to the North Market, extended hours into the nights, or evenings rather, and then Saturday hours. Our local number is 614-257-5550. After hours are nationally toll-free. We can be reached at 1-877-WAR-VETS. That number again, 1-877-WAR-VETS. A very cool number. It's actually answered by a human. A human who happens to be a social worker, who happens to be a 99% of them are combat vets who answer that line. So very cool agency there. And then on the web at www.vetcenter.va.gov. Also, we've got community access points across Central Ohio where vets can be seen right in their communities.
This talktainment is even beyond the United States. So are there vet centers in...
The 1-877-WAR-VETS number is by far the best resource for that, but we are a national agency.
Okay.
As Moyo mentioned, founded by Vietnam vets. Our staff remains to this day 71% veteran. National, all U.S. states, all territories, either the website or there's a locator on there for somebody in Maine or Wyoming or wherever to locate the vet center nearest them. Guam. We maintain foreign coverage even. Okay. But yes, absolutely. 1-877-WAR-VETS is what I would recommend.
All right.
So for veteran service commissions in Ohio, I would start with the Ohio Department of Veteran Services, the state agency. They actually have a pretty cool interactive map. You can click on your county and get to your local veteran service commission. So odvs.gov. But nationally speaking, you would want to at least start with your state's veteran service organization agency, however they label it. So from Texas to whatever state, every state has something that they label for veteran services, and drill down from there.
Again, we've done this a couple of times now, and we're getting better at it, but we haven't created a situation where we're not needed to do a program, at least in November. I want to thank each of you for coming, and I'll go over the listing again, because having a Team A and Team B, we didn't even have competition as to who won. But Chaplain Burfin Gammon, thank you. Bernard Bernie Pontones, thank you. Kimberly Tapia, Master Sergeant. Okay, thank you. Josh Ricketts, Scott Johnson, and Mayo Mitchell, thank you very much for coming in and sharing information that will be preserved, because the listeners will have the opportunity to get this information. And that's also a situation where not only can they report it, they can report it accurately, because they can ask a loved one or family member to listen and get the information directly. And again, the fact that we're dealing with this in 1 month does not eliminate the fact that there's a need to deal with it at other times, but we'll work on that later. Thank you so much for listening. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. And you're in touch with Faith and Family, your host, Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and I'm substituting for her today, Judge Grady Pettigrew. And for all veterans, American and otherwise, thank you for your service.
Radio, the way it should be heard.